in the way that Jesus declares that he's come to change the world and to change us from the inside out. God is a God of delegation who's given us the responsibility of taking the great news of Jesus everywhere we go. And there's partnership. There are networks of friendships that take place as this unfolds. This morning, I want to look at the five aspects that my friend Don shared with us, and it's become a pattern of how we do ministry here at Hidden Creek, and we see the imprints of this pattern in Scripture. I want to look at those five aspects, and I believe as we do, we'll grow in our understanding that each and every one of us has a role to play when it comes to spreading the good news of Jesus to our friends, our neighbors, and to strangers in far-off places. You may want to grab your teaching notes. They should have been handed to you as you came in. They might be tucked in your weekly update, but you'll be able to follow along as I talk about these five aspects. Now, this is going to be a very important sheet of paper for you. You're going to fill in the blanks, my guess is, and you'll get all the answers correct. This is a good sheet for you to keep in your Bible so that as you think about our workers overseas and as you pray for them, you'll be reminded of why we do what we do. This sheet of paper could be a best friend to your Bible. Just keep it tucked away in your Bible as a reminder that this is why we do what we do. One of the first values or the elements or core principles that we hold on to, one of the first things, or the first thing, is in our international partnerships, we're called to stay aware. We're called to stay aware. Staying aware is one of the roles that you can play as we live in obedience to Christ, taking the good news everywhere we go. We're to stay aware. Now, we talk a lot about our missionaries at Hidden Creek. The more we're together as a church, the more we come to an understanding of what our workers face day in and day out. And the more we gather and we talk about and we pray about our workers, the more we understand the world around us, how it works, what things are important. We understand in a deeper way than we can get from watching the news what the struggles are in those countries, what the deep needs are, and we begin to see lost people around us through God's eyes. We begin to view the world and the news through the context of God's mercy and His grace. Now, the good news of Jesus is best spread through relationships. And as we grow in our awareness of the relationships that our workers foster in different places, the better understanding we have that you and I are involved in their work. As we gather information about them, as we hear about it, gives us opportunities to pray. And I'll talk more about prayer in just a minute. But let me take you to a place in Scripture where we see this played out. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8. Now, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and his writings are letters to local churches. And if we were to read through those letters, we would find that Paul often speaks of people and places and relationships and ministry and objectives and goals that he hopes to see accomplished, that the Holy Spirit hopes to see established in churches. We see these five patterns played out in his writing, these five elements, and staying aware was an important part of what he did. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, Paul writes, "And so you, the Thessalonian church, you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere." The early church knew about the Thessalonians, and the Thessalonians were aware of things going on in other parts of the Roman world, and this engaged their hearts. The more they knew, the more they wanted to get involved. They got involved in many ways, through prayer, through sending people back and forth, through their financial contributions. But one of the great principles of staying aware of what's going on in different places in the world through our international workers is that they are encouraged that they're not alone. especially in some of our creative access countries where they can't talk openly about Jesus, their lives are filled with isolation, sometimes despair. They feel like they're cut off from the rest of the world. And knowing that we here are aware of their situation gives them a sense that they're encouraged because they know that they're not alone. They know that that when they need help, that others will be there to help them. This helps them to know, us being aware, helps them to know that if they have special needs, we look for ways to provide for them. And being aware of their situations causes us to pray more effectively. And again, I'll talk about that in just a minute. Staying aware is one of our core commitments as a church. And this is played out in our congregation in very obvious ways. There's some new posters up today that you may have noticed as you came in that talk about our work around the world as we partner with and as we are a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. There's some very obvious ways. As you look in your bulletin, there's an Alliance logo, and one of the prominent features of the logo is the globe. We are globally focused as we live out our faith. But there are some more subtle ways that play out in the rhythms that we experience in church. Let me pull the curtain back just a little bit for you to see our strategy in helping us be aware of what's going on around the world. In our weekly update, our international workers, our key partners are listed, the Deniuses, the Schutes, and the Mullinexes. As you come in on Sunday mornings, as the announcement slides are playing through, all of our key international partners, their pictures, their families are put up on this screen. In the back of our sanctuary, pictures are hung of these families and prayer cards are available. And by design, it happens at Creekside Cafe. When you come in the morning, you come to get a light refreshment, you get a slice of cheese. This morning you got fancy M&Ms and a cool dispenser. And our workers are there, and it's a subtle reminder that we are living in community with these people who are in far off places. Twice a month, at least, we watch videos from the Alliance about God's work around the world, and it helps us to step into those experiences in those countries. Monthly, you receive a call to prayer in your weekly update with fresh prayer requests from different places. Each month, ladies from our church get together to pray for our workers, and they've been meeting for years and years and years, faithfully banding together to lift up our workers in prayer. Quarterly, we invite a person from another country or one of our international workers or some of our leaders that live in different places to come and to speak to us about what God is doing. Most recently, Ben DeJesus, just a few weeks ago, from the Philippines, was here to speak. Prior to that, the Mullinexes were here at the end of the summer. And before that, you may remember that a beekeeping pastor from Bosnia, Carmelo, came to talk about how God uses that ministry to open doors for the good news about Jesus. Many of these things don't just happen. They're strategically designed to keep us aware of what's going on around the world. Annually, we have our Global Outreach Month in October, November, we're kind of in that now. October to the middle of November, we'll be talking about our role in taking the good news to far-off places. Our annual Global Outreach Month, declaring the good news of the gospel to our community and around the world. And in February, we have our Justice and Mercy and Action Month, where we look at the other side of living out the gospel. We declare the gospel, but we also demonstrate the gospel in practical ways as we help people in our community and around the world discover a better way to live by putting the love and the ministry and the message of Jesus into practice through practical acts of service and obedience. Did you know all of that was going on to keep us aware? Staying aware is one of the roles that you and I can play in supporting our international ministries. Staying aware is one of the ways that we can be engaged in mind and in heart with our workers. Staying aware allows us to pray effectively. And that's the second piece that I'd like for us to look at. And it's strategic prayer. Staying aware and strategic prayer. Strategic prayer is one of the roles that you can play in the lives of our international workers. In fact, right now as I'm speaking, you could quietly in your mind just lift up a prayer for our workers, and in doing so, you're engaged. You're engaged in the work of our international friends, praying for them. When we pray for our workers around the world, we have a direct impact on their lives. Have you ever thought about that with prayer? That when we pray, we speak our thoughts, we speak our words, we share with God the inmost expressions in our heart, and we lift up, we intercede for our missionaries and workers. Those prayers are heard by God in heaven. And somehow, mysteriously, He uses our prayers to impact the lives of people in a far-off place, our workers and the folks that they work with. You have a direct impact on their ministry. In Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 15, verse 30, this is what he says. Now, Paul is one of those spiritual superheroes, right? He was able to speak words with power. He was able to pray, and people were healed. And yet, listen to his dependence upon prayer as he serves boldly for Christ. He says, Romans 15, 3, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Here a very clear invitation. Join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. There's something that takes place in the unseen realm when we pray, when we follow this command to pray for others, God acts. Jesus modeled this for us. Now remember, Jesus lived in a perfect relationship with His Heavenly Father, perfect relationship with God, and yet He prayed for direction, He prayed for intervention, He gave thanks, He prayed for His followers, He prayed for workers, He prayed for us. If Jesus demonstrates that before us, then certainly we should be engaged in that as well. We're invited into this role as we pray for one another and pray for our workers. Strategic prayer takes place when we do spiritual battle on behalf of our workers. Spiritual battle on behalf of our workers. Strategic prayer also takes place when we pray that the Holy Spirit would prepare the hearts of people who need to respond, given the invitation to respond to the love and the message of Jesus. Strategic prayer takes place when we take the requests that have been sent out by our workers, and when we picture ourselves in their situation and ask God to intervene. Strategic prayer takes place when we quiet our hearts before the Lord and we ask the Holy Spirit, how should I pray for the Molinexes or the Deniuses or the Schutes today? How should I pray for our missionaries around the world? And we quietly sit and listen for the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and wisdom. You know, He does that sometimes. He gives us discernment in how to pray for our workers. Sometimes He wakes us up. Some of us are awakened in the middle of the night with a prompting to pray, and we engage in prayer for our friends, and in doing so, you're a part of global international partnerships. In the last couple of days, we've received through the internet some urgent prayers for our workers in dangerous places. We can have a role in establishing the peace and the mercy of Jesus as we pray for difficult places like that. Another family sent out an urgent prayer request, and the prayer request was they sensed that many of the families, the workers there, were undergoing spiritual attacks from the enemy, from Satan, from the devil, that their lives were being riddled with all kinds of problems and sicknesses, and they called out, we need help. We need you to pray for us. The worker who posted the request said, we want to be here. We want to be used by Jesus. But there are times when the struggle is real and significant, and it wears you down, and it's exhausting. She had this sense of danger and peril for the team, and she gave an example. She said that this week, one of the families was in their kitchen, but unexpectedly, their gas oven exploded. It sent sparks and flames and pieces of the oven all over the kitchen. And the three family members that were in there were unharmed, except for the little girl, and her hair was burned, and there were a few scratches. But aside from that, they were protected. It was a reminder that prayer is important. It's one of the ways that we care for our workers. Strategic prayer is key in our relationship with them. Prayer is an important part of how we care for them. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, verse 18. He said, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the followers of Christ, the saints, those who have been made holy by Jesus." Did you know that our international workers pray for you as well? That they put many of these principles into practice. They stay aware of what's going on at Hidden Creek, and they pray for you. Meg and I were in Cyprus this summer with workers from across the Middle East, Israel and Palestine, and there was a time that they had set apart to hear about what God was doing at Hidden Creek. What God was doing through your lives. And I always love talking about, telling your stories, speaking of God's faithfulness to us as a congregation. And after they heard your stories, they were encouraged and they spent time praying for us as a church. The more we partner with our workers overseas, the more it seems they partner with us in this great reciprocal relationship. They pray for you. A third aspect, a third way that we can stay engaged is by doing our share. Number three, by doing our share. And this has to do with our finances and our resources. In Philippians 4, the last part of verse 18 through verse 20, this is what Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, "I'm amply supplied. I have everything I need. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent." He was able to say, "I'm doing okay now because of the gifts that you sent." And he says, "They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." And then he prays for them. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." And we see this pattern in the early church that when they became aware of needs, they gave of their finances, they gave of their resources, they gave of their people, and lives were changed because of it. A number of ways that we do this at Hidden Creek through our finances and through our resources is through the Great Commission Fund. Now, the Great Commission Fund is the primary way that our workers are supported overseas. And each year about this time, and we'll talk about it more in November, we talk about a faith promise, how we as a congregation, how we as individuals can give on a consistent, regular basis to our workers overseas. And this giving is over and above our regular tithes and offerings. Now, maybe you're not aware of this, so let me let you know. Our ministry budget for Hidden Creek is about $185,000. $185,000 is what it takes to allow the ministries to happen, for us to have heat, for our pastors to be here on staff. $185,000. Last year we committed, and you'll see this in our weekly update every week, we committed $10,000 to serving overseas. Already, $15,000 has been received. Now, if we stay on track with our Great Commission Fund giving, by the end of the year, we probably will, as a church, give $19,000 to missions. That's 10% more than that, over and above our regular giving. You are living out this principle. You are living with generosity and obedience as you share the things that God has entrusted to you. We also give by supporting special projects in the different countries where our workers serve. There's Bible distribution that takes place. There's community development that takes place because you've given to special projects. We also bless our workers by sending ministry supplies. These gifts provide the platform for them to live out their call. It provides them with tools needed to speak the words of Jesus to others. Over the years, you have sent computers. You have sent cell phones. You've sent items like paint sprayers and leaf blowers. And you've sent hundreds of pounds of candy. Your generosity is having a direct impact on the ministry of our workers and the lives of Palestinians and Israelis and Bosnians and Chinese and Africans and South Americans and Europeans around the world. Doing your share is part of the role that you play in the lives of our international workers. And then fourth, there's partner care. Partner care. Not every church is able to engage in partner care. The Lord has blessed us in a way that we've been able to do this with different opportunities that God has given to us. We see this at work in Scripture as well. Paul wrote to his friends in Galatia in chapter 6, verse 25. He says this about the way that the church cares for one another and the way that the Galatian church cares for him and others who serve as missionaries, as frontline workers. Galatians 6:25, Paul says, I'm sending Tychicus to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. As bold and strong as Paul was and as healthy or unhealthy as the Galatians were, they needed encouragement and they needed care. In his letter to the Philippians, Philippians 2:25, Paul speaks of another friend. He says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Paul and the Philippian church used a man named Epaphroditus. His life had been transformed by Christ. He had come out of a pagan culture. His life had been dedicated to Aphrodite. He fell in love with Jesus. His life was changed. And he became a messenger that went from the Philippian church to Paul, taking gifts, bringing prayer requests. And again, he would go back and bring encouragement to the church. He's the one who ferried the letters back and forth. And in this, we see that care took place in the early church. Over the past few years, you've been able to host workers from China workers and nationals from China and Bosnia and Israel and Palestine and a number of other countries. Partner care is one of the roles that you play in the lives of our international workers. As amazing as our workers are overseas, as brilliant and as resilient as they are, they're people just like you and me. There are times when they're bold. There are times, too, that they're terrified. There are times when they're confident and other times insecure. Times when they're full of faith, other times when they're uncertain about tomorrow. They have emotional ups and downs and spiritual highs and lows, just like you and me. And when we talk about partner care being a high value for us, that means that when our workers are with us in Olympia, you love them, you listen to them, you pray for them, you encourage them, and you give them opportunities to be refreshed. When we talk about partner care as being a high value, that means that we're committed to walking through life with them when they're here in the States and when they're on the field. And when we take teams to serve overseas, we look for times to care for our workers, to find a quiet spot where we can listen to them and pray for them and tell your stories of God's faithfulness and be an encouragement. Now, we can't do that for all of our workers that serve overseas, the 800 to 900 alliance workers around the world. We can't do that for all the workers, and we can't do it for all the countries. But in three countries, we as a church have been called to partner in a deeper way and to care for those people. And even more specifically, we've been given opportunities to do that in Israel and in Palestine with the workers that are there. And then in a very focused way, we do that with the Mullinex family. Sometimes the pastoral care piece or the partner care piece means that we go there and we work alongside them. And that's the fifth element to the fifth core value of our international partnerships, and it's going there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the last part of that verse says, Paul is speaking here, "We loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Paul is saying, "I love you so much, church at Thessalonica, that I desire to be with you and to live among you and to serve beside you." There's something life-changing about walking with and serving with and praying with our workers in a ministry context. Over 10% of our congregation over the years, 10 to 15% of us have been able to go to one of our mission fields and to serve alongside our workers. And those of you who have been able to go, you know that it is a life-changing experience to see the world at a ground-level way through the eyes of our workers, to see the people that they work with. And there's a new compassion that sets in and a new fervor for the work that God has called us to accomplish. Now, not every one of us is called to go to a partner country. That's not the expectation. But some of us can. And as we go, you pray for us, you support us, and we know that you are committed to providing us with the tools we need to do that piece of going there well. Hidden Creek is committed to providing opportunities for you to work alongside our international workers in their ministry context. We look for ways to help you go to walk with them, to laugh with them, to sweat with them, to cry with them, to eat with them, to watch God at work with them in their lives. When we go, you go with us. There's delight in not only sharing the good news of God, but sharing your stories and sharing our lives with those who are on the front lines, very dangerous places in ministry. Going there is one of the roles you play in the lives of our international workers. What role do you play in our global partnerships? I mentioned early in this message that perhaps the Lord would be speaking clearly to some of you about new ways that you could serve. What is God saying to you about this? What role do you play in our global partnerships? As you think about those things, every one of you can play a role. Even if right now, as you did earlier, you pray a prayer for our workers, you're engaged in global partnership. What role do you play in those partnerships? And then another question, are there roles the Holy Spirit is asking you to explore? As I've talked about these things and as you've heard Scripture, is there a rumbling within you that's not hunger? Do you sense the Holy Spirit moving, saying, you know what? I want to develop a new aspect of ministry in you. I want you to pray more strategically, more effectively. Maybe I want you to go and be a part of what God is doing in a far-off place. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? Another question that you might ask is, what tools or resources do you need God to supply as you step into that new role that God is calling you to? Very often when God speaks to me or God speaks to us, and we see that He's asking us to do something impossible, we say, well, God, I don't have the resources to do that. I don't have the gifts or the talents to do that. And many times God responds by saying, don't worry about that. I'm the God of everything, and I can provide everything you need to be obedient and to fulfill my call on your life. Maybe you're asking those types of questions, and you should ask, what tools or resources do I need God to supply? And then begin praying and watching and looking for His Spirit to move and provide those things for you. And when you see that happen, be ready to obey. Now, not every one of us can go to far-off places where the Alliance serves. But through emails and newsletters and stories and videos, we can experience a glimpse of what life is like in those places, and we can stay engaged. I remember as a young child, I grew up in a church that was much like this. The congregation was committed to overseas work. And when our missionaries would come, we had a full week that was called Missions Conference. And we would have events in the evenings and all day Sunday and Sunday evening. And often the missionaries would bring slides. And all the kids in the church would come and sit in the front on the floor or in the aisles and watch these incredible slideshows. And part of my early memories are seeing tribal people from South America and Africa and Indonesia and our workers declaring the good news of Jesus to them. My hope and my prayer is that as children grow up in this congregation, they will have that same sense that God is calling us to something beyond our local church, to a movement going on around the world. In the next few minutes, I don't have slides for you, but I have a video. And as we watch this video, I invite you to go with me to one of the Creative Access countries where our Alliance International workers serve. See their lives, feel their hearts, hear their stories, and see the transformation.